As the Lord may be pleased to help us this evening, I'd like to direct your prayerful attention to the words we read together. We'll take as our text Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, and verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, and verse 5. In this passage of Scripture, we read of three things that Herod did. He vexed the church. He took the life of James, the brother of John, and he imprisoned Peter. But as we shall see, as we look at this part of God's inspired word, there were three things that God performed. He gave a spirit of prayer. He gave deliverance to Peter. And he gave a wonderful power to his own word, because we read, as we come to the close of chapter 12, that short verse, verse 24, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." We should never despair, dear friends. Our God whom we serve is able. Those words which were spoken by those three who were thrown on that burning fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they said they weren't careful to answer the king. No, they said, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us." And this wonderful truth, we can find a thread of it going through, a golden thread flowing through God's word. This Herod was the grandson of the Herod that was on the throne at the time that our dear Lord Jesus came into this world. And just like his grandfather, he wasn't royal by birth. It was convenient for the Roman Empire to have a king. And he was at this time hungry to gain popularity, and the way the scripture reads is that he noticed that if he made friends with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, who were opposed to the work of the apostles who were appointed by the Lord Jesus. An apostle is one who saw the Lord Jesus following the resurrection and was sent personally by the Lord Jesus. And when the last apostle was taken to glory, that was the end of the apostles. But they were given that particular calling and responsibility to obey the words of the Lord Jesus and form the New Testament church. And Peter at this time was being greatly used. The words of the Lord Jesus that were given to Peter following the resurrection, when Peter challenged him those three times and said, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" Before then, the Lord Jesus had given Peter a wonderful promise. Peter, as we well know, loved the Lord Jesus. He was so enthusiastic, he made that bold statement. And he said to the dear Lord Jesus, "Though all men forsake thee, yet will not I." The Lord Jesus had a very solemn word to say to Peter. He said to Peter, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And three times Peter denied that he knew the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus knew all about it. It's a wonderful blessing. It should be a blessing and comfort to us. Also a blessing to keep us awake. But the Lord Jesus is God. He knows the end from the beginning. And he knew the path that Peter would take. He said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But he said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And this Peter was helped to do. He loved the Lord Jesus. And here we see him being greatly used in the work of the ministry, in making known the glorious good news of the gospel. But Herod had this terrible scheme that he might gain great favour if he took the life of Peter, because then he would he might have thought that he would weaken the church, and the teaching of the glorious resurrection that the Sadducees did not believe. And of course we know that the authorities paid a great bribe to the soldiers, those who at the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus, when the angel appeared, they were thrown backwards as dead men. The Lord Jesus appeared, he rose again from the dead. And what a glorious truth this is. I feel convinced that this teaches us the glorious receipt that the price for putting away of sin is paid. The glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus tells us that God is satisfied. The prisoner has served his sentence. The Lord Jesus, who laid down his life to redeem lost souls, is he who has risen again, having conquered sin and death and hell. Sin, which is, of course, the result. Death, which is the result of sin, has been paid for, redeemed, brought back. And to those who, by the wonders of grace, come to put their trust alone in our Lord Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, are those who have, by God's wonderful mercy, tasted, handled, and felt that the Lord is good. He is good. Day by day, he provides for us, both in our material needs, and he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us in our circumstances. He who has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He who before ascending to glory said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And that word, I will not leave his people comfortless, surely speaks to us, he will not leave us as an orphan without one to care for us. No. He, by his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself, no, but he takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them to us. He communicates between God's wonderful mercies in heaven and our needs here below. The Lord Jesus, as we read in John's Gospel, came to his own, and his own received him not. And these so-called religious people of the day, and they were the same council as those who were involved in putting Peter in prison. The Sanhedrin, apparently there were about 70 of them, and they falsely tried our Lord Jesus at that trial, which being held at night was unofficial, and yet we should always keep in mind the words of our Lord Jesus, that no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again, he said. This have I received from my Father. And having taken his life again, having gloriously risen again from the dead, the Lord Jesus made that wonderful statement to emphasize this. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, because all power is given, go therefore and teach all nations. And so that wonderful blessing is still with us even today. The Lord Jesus Christ is he who lives and reigns in glory. Well, this Herod was governor in not only in Galilee but in Judea, and he resided in Jerusalem. And this King Herod's scheme to find favor with the Pharisees and Sadducees and to gain popularity, he saw that taking the life of James, and of course Stephen had suffered a martyr's death, he noticed that by these things he was finding favor with them. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he took Peter also. How sad. We have a record of it to show us that in all these things, God is in control. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And his power does work. We have a true record of it here. And we read together, 12 verse 3, because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So there were 16 guards. He would have been in the inner prison, top security, with 16 guards working in shifts to keep him there. But we have this verse that we've got before us as our text. And what a blessing it is. Peter, therefore, and that word therefore is important because of all that has been constructed against Peter, because of all these happenings, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But, and I'm sure you've noticed that as we study God's word, when we read a but, there's usually something quite profound following it. We have it again at the end of this chapter, verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Who can withstand the power of God? Nothing or no one can oppose God, because his power is beyond all our reckoning. And as we shall see, great obstacles are no problem to God. You think of those dear disciples who shut themselves in following the resurrection. They were filled with fear. The Lord Jesus had risen. He made himself known to them. But where were they? They locked themselves in a room, the doors being shut. And Jesus himself entered in. He entered in. A closed door is no problem to the power of God. And we should surely praise him for this. The closed door of our hearts before ever we knew the Lord Jesus was no problem to God. No, his power went forth and spoke. And this he can do to whoever he has eternally designed to be saved. They will come to him. They will come with a saving knowledge of our dear Saviour, a knowledge of their need, and that need which can only be met in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. A closed heart will not prevent the work of God. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. He stretched forth his hands to command his officers to put Peter in top security. And you can just imagine his evil design. After Easter, when Jerusalem was well populated with people, Peter would be made a sad spectacle of. And you may be sure he would bring him forth and delight in taking the life of Peter. Maybe in front of thousands of people as a threat to anyone who opposed the king and was a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. How that early New Testament church suffered. And yet, they held on their way, didn't they? And we in our day and age need to remember that God, who formed that early New Testament church following the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, who told them to tarry in Jerusalem and then the church would radiate from there. We are the recipients of these wonderful blessings. And we believe in the same Lord Jesus. We have the same Holy Scriptures. Indeed, we are better off because we have the complete canon of Scripture. And so many blessings in God's inspired Word, which were only written, many of them after these dear people had believed, and we have the record of it. Also, we have the epistles that the dear Apostle Paul was inspired to write to the various churches. Because he was held captive, he wrote letters. The letters were preserved, and we have them. How privileged we are. What we read is, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. What a wonderful blessing prayer is. And I was thinking about this only this afternoon, contemplating our meeting this evening, that so often when we read a statement in the New Testament, we have a wonderful parallel in the Old Testament. And my mind went to our dear old friend Jacob. How tried Jacob was. He sent his sons down to Egypt to buy corn because he heard that there was plenty there. And they were in a time of famine. But of course, we well know that Joseph had gone before and he'd stored up corn in the years of plenty, ready for the famine. But you well know how that Joseph gradually made himself known to his brothers when they came to buy corn. And the time came when they had to tell Jacob, their father, that unless he let Benjamin go and see them, it wouldn't be any good them coming back for more corn. And poor Jacob, his heart must have sunk. And we read it in the in the book of Genesis, how that Jacob's heart must have been, Genesis 42, we read these words, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And will ye take Benjamin away? All these things are against me." And here, you can imagine these church people praying. And they were praying in agony. I understand that where it says prayer was made without ceasing, in the original language, it would be a very similar phrase to when our dear Lord Jesus was in an agony praying to his Father before he gave his life to redeem lost souls. The church here were coming with their heartfelt desire that Peter's life might be preserved. And they might well have prayed something like this: Stephen is not, James is not, and will they take Peter also? No doubt they prayed with fervent prayer. God would have given them a spirit of prayer, although it would seem that they believed not for joy when Peter was released. But here we see prayer was made without ceasing. You can imagine them. You know what it's like if you have a burden on your heart and soul, and you go to bed but you don't go to sleep. But we can pray. And what a blessing it is that our God, who lives in glory, where there is no night, his ear is open 24 hours a day, because he lives in eternity where there is no night, and he never slumbers and never sleeps. His ear is ever open to hear our cries. And therefore, they could pray. And it is a wonderful blessing that we can come to the greatest power that this world has ever known, and we are encouraged to seek him by prayer. We can't go to an earthly king and knock on the door and ask if we can speak to him unless we are officially invited. God has given to us an ongoing invitation: pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And we are exhorted to pray. And here we have these dear people praying for the release of their dear friend Peter. And it was made without ceasing of the church, that is, of the bodies of believers. They would unite in prayer. And this prayer was made unto God, true and living Lord God, for Peter. We read those wonderful words, I think it's the fourth chapter in Genesis, the birth of Enos, and we read, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." What a blessing. What a blessing. And that prayer, that door of prayer, ever stands open. The door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. And no sinner was ever yet empty sent back who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Now the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom when our Lord Jesus uttered those wonderful words on the cross, "It is finished." What was finished was his work on earth. And all the Old Testament types and shadows and sacrifices are finished, because he has fulfilled all righteousness. And we have that wonderful word in the Epistle to the Hebrews Every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down, work finished, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. These dear people were so blessed with God answering their prayer. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. We don't need to worry ourselves as to how iron chains that would be tightly on his wrists fell off. All we need to do, dear friends, is believe it. God alone can do such things. He who created that mineral of metal in the earth, he's able to do whatever he will with it. He can cause the wind and the waves to stop blowing, and an iron chain is no problem to our God in heaven above. When the angel of the Lord gave Peter that command, and we must always remember that the angels are God's messengers, God would surely instruct them as to what to say and what to do. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." Surely, dear friends, this directs us to Ephesians chapter 6. We're told to put on the whole armour of God. And part of that armour was having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peter was instructed by the angel of God to put his shoes on. "Peter, your work isn't finished yet. You've got to go back to the preaching of the word. Bind on thy sandals." And also, he was told to put his cloak on. "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Yes, Peter was in God's hands, under God's direction, and the angel that appeared came upon him, a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals," and so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." When the prodigal son came back to his father said, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put shoes on his feet." A slave might go barefooted, but this was the son. This was the prodigal son. He who had returned to his father in confession of his sin. And that robe that was provided to cover his rags and his filth and his sin was a robe which covered his righteousness, covered a robe of righteousness to cover his sin. And so it is with the Apostle Peter here. He was told to put his garment on and follow him. And he went out and followed him, and he wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, it would seem that there were three sections Peter, no doubt, was in the inner part of the prison. They went through the first, then the second, and then they were coming to the outside of the prison. And the iron gate, Peter might well have seen that when he was taken into the prison. And he would have seen this secure iron gate, which was the barrier between the prison and the outside world. They came to the iron gate. These details, which are recorded in God's word, are well worth looking at. The iron gate that leadeth unto the city. Now, they might have looked at that gate and thought, that's a gate which might need some opening. No doubt all the bolts and bars were on the outside. How could they get to it? What do we read? Something quite profound. The iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out. We don't read any hint whatsoever of Peter or the angel putting their hand to that gate, do we? But prayer was made by the church for the release of Peter. And when they came to that iron gate, they didn't have to touch it. We read it open to them of his own accord. Have you, dear friends, had an iron gate experience? You go through life and you have various difficulties, and then you come to one you think that's unsurmountable. Will we get through this one or not? But God does appear. It may not be all at once, but God works his purposes. And the iron gate teaches us so much. Many people have a heart like an iron gate, which it would seem would be very difficult to open. But God can melt the hardest heart and bring them to a saving knowledge of himself. And we have the iron gate of conviction, that which is can be a great torment to some people. But God is able to use even this to bring them to a saving knowledge of himself. And we can go on. Just as those chains fell off, so the iron gate opened. And some people have an iron gate conscience. Nothing seems to touch their conscience. It's so hard. Yes, but an iron gate in the scriptures was no problem. Without touching it, God opened it. As they observed it, this gate swung open. They went through. And what a wonderful blessing this is. The chains fell off, and people can be given a new will. This led into the city. The city in which was the prison. And they were free to go out of the prison. And it doesn't read anything about the guards. They were most likely overpowered by God's presence that the angel was at work. That same power that overthrew the guards at the tomb of the Lord Jesus. Yes. But God's presence was going with Peter as he came out of that prison. But look how Peter was kept while he was in prison. He was sleeping, knowing that to all intents and purposes, that very next morning, his life might well have been taken. And just as God withheld Abraham's hand while he had that knife in his hand to slay Isaac, right at the last second, God sent his angel with a message. Abraham, stay thy hand. Slay not thy son. For now I know that thou art faithful. And that deep trial that Abraham went through, Abraham believed that even if Isaac's life was taken, Abraham had a vision of the resurrection. I'm sure Abraham believed that Isaac's life would be restored, because he said to the servant, remain here with the asses and the luggage. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and return. He believed. And what Abraham believed, God had recorded in the scripture, that Abraham believed what God had promised him. Isaac was a son of promise. And in all these things, the battle is not ours, but God's, isn't it? These dear people proved it. Peter was released from prison. Yes. And when they came out, they passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a truth, of a surety, that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the gate of the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, this young lady, she most likely heard Peter preach and pray, she knew his voice. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But Peter, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. We may be sure, dear friends, that God had a safe place where Peter could go. Peter would have known the geography of that area very well. But God took him just as God cared for Elijah when Ahab would have taken his life. These wonderful truths, dear friends, encourage us to be led by God's divine direction. There were many gathered together praying, and while they prayed, God was answering their prayer. These things are all of God and all of grace. And as good Jehoshaphat was greatly used when the battle was of Ammon and Moab, they were overthrown, not with the sword and the spear, no, but with prayer and praise. When the people praised in the days of Jehoshaphat, wonderful things happened, didn't they? We can read about it in the second book of Chronicles. He said, hearken ye all, Judah. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Jacob and Jerusalem. Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And we read that they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. What we read is that the singers unto the Lord, and that they shall praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Well, what a wonderful God we have. He's mindful of us. May we ever keep in mind those words of the psalm, This God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. Amen.